Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 13th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Adioye Jr., and joining me is the guy with the tie, Greg Miller.
Oh my God! Yeah. All right! I was so ready to go fucking off on you when I saw the show notes and it's just my name. Nothing.
Oh no, legit, I had to cobble one together real quick because I couldn't let it slide.
That was great. Yeah. I'm really impressed.
I'm
good
surprised
job.
Even when you're in the passenger seat, you come dressed up. You show up.
I thought about
go.
Not doing it, you know what I mean? But then I've been on such a good track record this year, 2020, of wearing the actual shirt and tie.
Can I ask you what the history is of you dressing up? Is that an up at noon thing, or
it's part of that. I mean, for Kinda Funny Games Daily, the reason I think we did it is, and now I know I'm pulling back the curtain here, everybody. I know every YouTube viewer has never understood this. Most of our shows kind of look the same.
Oh yeah.
And so I wanted the idea is that I wanted a visual identity for every one of the shows.
Oh.
So that if you tuned in, it wasn't so. Oh, he's just wearing the same shirt he wore on the Game Over Greggy show, the Kinda Funny podcast, the Games Cast, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kind of have a different vibe to it every time.
Okay.
And Games Daily, I think, you know, when we started, it was, and still is, very much more like, hey, we're trusted news sources talking about this and having a real conversation. It's not so much the Burt Meg jokes from Kinda Funny Podcast and me wheezing nonstop. That happens,
of course.
This
is the buttoned up show.
We understand. This is as buttoned up as it gets around here. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Now I'm starting to wonder if I should start dressing up, because I asked this question
the first day
I was here.
Here's the problem, Blessing, Adioye Jr.
Yeah.
You look good all the time.
I mean, that's fair.
Look at you right now.
I don't have as many ties. I have maybe one tie.
What I've loved about you taking over hosting, and why I'm excited that you're hosting a show and I get to be passenger seat, and we're going to start doing this more, I bet, is the idea that what I love about it is that you've made Games Daily your own. And I've appreciated that.
Thank you.
Appreciated that journey publicly with the audience, right? Where even when Gary calls you on it that one time, you were like, well, no, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not just trying to be Greg Light. I'm trying to be, hey, this is, you know, what I want to
build my own identity on
the show. So I think that, you know, you come in wearing these bomber jackets, these fly t-shirts.
I mean, that's just me being Tim, though.
Well,
the bomber jackets.
Let's call a spade a spade. Tim gave up a long time ago.
That's fair.
All right? You know what I mean? I think this him fixing his eyes is his first step trying to get back into fashion over function, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, like, he's let it go.
Okay.
You just look good, period.
Thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate it. How's your morning been?
Oh, so far, so good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
we got a lot going on. Today and then next week and in every life, you know, everyday life, I guess.
Personally or for Kinda Funny?
I was saying Kinda Funny. Personally, of course, yeah. Like, the world's on lockdown and everything's going to hell.
Yeah.
But, like, for us, too, in terms of content, we're doing a lot of embargoed, a lot of reviews, a lot of things going on.
A lot going on behind the scenes.
But it's such a fun time. Sure. It's always fun, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you, my morning has been an interesting one because there's been, you're probably not familiar with this rapper, named Jay Electronica.
Of course I know Jay Electronica.
Do you know Jay Electronica?
My name's Jay Electronica. Okay, I'm here to say I like electronics in a major way. 50% off, 70% off. Come on down to the store today.
Wow, okay, that's a song for his new album. Jay Electronica is a rapper that literally a decade ago, in 2010, released two songs and then disappeared and never released a song again.
Awesome.
And those two songs are, like, revered as, like, some of the best rap songs.
Did he do Old Town Road?
No, that's Lil Nas X. No. He did two songs called Exhibit A and Exhibit C. And
I like that.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That's
and he just, like, put out those songs, and everybody like, listened to them and were like, whoa, these songs are, like, off the chain. Can't wait for the album. And he, like, got signed by Jay-Z, all this stuff.
Sure.
Just never put out the album
until
today.
Wow.
Until this morning.
Is this what I caught wind of something Cool Greg was talking about? He wanted a concert too or something?
No. There's just been a lot of. So, me and Cool Greg and Tim were going to go to the Lupe Fiasco concert that's going on. That was going to happen, like, I think in April.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen no more. Yeah.
Just got delayed till June.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens. But that one was an exciting one because it was going to be his Food and Liquor album, which is, like, his first, like, classic album. He was just going to perform that from front to back. But not anymore. Not anymore. Today's stories include Silent Hill rumors, Dreams IP ownership, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames for bronze members or above. Get to write in. Silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Also, Tim's not here. That's the thing that we should address. Thank
Tim.
God.
Fuck Tim.
If you're not watching the Kinda Funny podcast anymore, it still wouldn't make that much sense, but that is what's happening.
No, screencast. That was a screencast bit.
Was it?
Was that a screencast?
God, it's just a
blur. I thought it was a review.
No, it was a screencast. Screencast. Everybody go watch the Outsider screencast thing to get the thing.
Oh, yeah. That's
also, I think you just did it, and mm-hmm. I want to point out that yesterday I think I made the official transition over to where this table, or podcast services around the globe, I'm going to pound like I do this table.
Oh,
I'm moving away
yeah.
from this.
Yeah, because
gate never works for with a hand and stuff.
I've always felt nervous about it because I don't know how to treat these microphones and I don't have the authority you do. So I don't want Kevin to, like, I don't know, get super mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin gets mad at you.
If Kevin would have gotten mad at me by now about it, you know what I mean? That would have been the thing.
And so I
Kevin doesn't hold back when he's mad at you about something.
Oh, no.
He doesn't care your rank in the office.
Yeah.
He doesn't care you could fire him like that. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Yeah.
But still, I feel safer just doing, like,
I don't say this often, Blessing.
That
motion
doesn't look great out of context now.
Not at all. Blessing, you're untouchable here. All right, do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, just fuck this place.
Taking this thing off.
Oh!
It's a different vibe today. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad, Momo, Drew Gardner, Blackjack, and the kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Mint Mobile, and Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got 5 stories today.
Epic Games doesn't.
Starting off with number 1, is Silent Hill making a return? This comes from Jordan Gerblick at Games Radar. He writes, "New, somewhat credible rumors have surfaced that a Silent Hill reboot is in the works for PS5, and talks for a Silent Hills revival are ongoing. The rumors originated from Twitter user Aesthetic Gamer and Rely on Horror, two sources with proven track records who report on the rumors with reassuring confidence. Apparently, the Silent Hill reboot is coming from SIE Japan Studio and being helmed by Kichiro Toyama, the director and writer of the original Silent Hill, Masahiro Ito, creature designer for the first 4 games, and Akira Yamaoka, the composer for the majority of the franchise. The Silent Hills revival is reportedly not a done deal yet, but would afford Kojima full creative freedom and potentially make use of Sony's next generation PlayStation VR headset. Additionally, it sounds like Sony pitched Kojima the Silent Hills revival as a narrative driven experience akin to Until Dawn and Telltale's The Walking Dead series. Both sources are reporting that Sony is acting as a sort of mediator between Hideo Kojima and Konami in an effort to revive Silent Hills on PS5. Finally, there's evidence to suggest we might be hearing official word on one or more of these rumored projects as soon as this month. It's always best to be skeptical of rumors in general, but there's enough context behind these new rumors to be excited for the future of Silent Hill. And of course, take all of this with a grain of salt. But Greg,
take it to the bank. This is happening. Nah,
No.
It's too perfect. I've talked about before, right? I've talked about this before where I thought that Sony would try to get Metal Gear back and try to bring Metal Gear to Kojima Productions and be like, hey, we're acting as the intermediary here. And I think if they were able to do this, that would blow the doors open.
Do you feel like that's something Kojima would want to do, though? Because I feel like Kojima's been trying to get out of Metal Gear forever, whereas Silent Hills was a new, exciting project for him.
I think that Kojima... let's dial it back and I'll answer your question with a question. Why do you think he's been trying? What do you mean you think he's been trying to get out of it forever?
From Metal Gear, it seems like since Metal Gear Solid 3, I want to say it's been similar to the Sakurai thing of
right?
This is my last one.
Yeah,
and he says that every single time, and I feel like both the Solid Snake and Big Boss stories have come to a place where they're pretty much done. Like really, all you can do now is maybe connect the period between Metal Gear Solid 5 and the first original Metal Gear game, or maybe even remake the original Metal Gear games, which could be exciting. But I feel like Kojima, from where he's at, has maybe done all he feels like he needs to have done. And also, I feel like his experience working on Metal Gear Solid 5 specifically was so rough that I'd wonder if he even want to revisit it. It being separate from Konami might change that.
Yeah,
but as far as where Kojima's at now, I'd be surprised if he was like, oh yeah, Metal Gear, I'll give it another shot.
I feel like every one of our famed video game creators who work on a series forever and are like, this is my last one, and then they make another one.
Yeah.
It isn't that they're liars. It isn't that they were, interview or anything. Yeah. I don't think they were trying to pull one over. I think it's that thing that, and again, I'm not a video game creator, sadly, because I'm stupid and dumb. But I think it is that thing where every time you make a video game, right, what do we always hear, right? It's like, 40% 30% of your ideas are left on the cutting room floor. You had to bail, you had to bounce, you had to do whatever. And so I think that when you're in these interviews and you're like, yeah, I'm done, you still have that idea of where you wanted to go, what else you wanted to do. Like, even Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain, right? Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain connected, right? Tell a story, right? But like you're saying, it doesn't end definitively. I mean, like, sure, we understand, no spoilers, I guess, even though you already know what the fucking ending of Metal Gear Solid 5 was. Mm-hmm. There's still wiggle room there for what's going on with Big Boss, sure.
For sure.
There's still, let's get out of this part of the conversation, because there's still obviously more all sorts of tangents to talk about in Metal Gear. For Kojima in particular, I think even if you're talking to him now or when in the lead up to Death Stranding about it, and he was like, yeah, I'm, you know, we're done with Metal Gear and yada, yada, yada. I think so much of that is the pain relationship with Konami.
Yeah.
It is what him and his developers and cohorts had to go through there. I think that, and I'm talking completely out of my ass as somebody who does talk every so often to Kojima, I want to make it clear I haven't had this conversation with him. I would think that he looks back at Metal Gear Solid 5 as a missed opportunity, mm-hmm. as he did not stick the landing the way he wanted, right? If they had to drop Chapter 3 the way they talked about, right?
Yeah.
If that's the case, if all that has happened, I think that it was incredibly painful. He was happy to get away, but it was
Phantom painful.
Yeah. He was happy to get away, but clearly it was a breakup and it went sour and it didn't end the way he wanted it to. And he didn't go out on his terms, and he didn't end the series or whatever you want to call it on his terms.
Yeah.
And so I think that even if he said in the past, you know, I'm done with this and I'm happy with where we are and I'm ready to move on, I think there is definitely a part of him that is like, I would like to do one more shot of it. I would like to do this one thing with it. I have this idea for what I'd want to do with it.
And I could see Death Stranding being the game to kind of get all of his creative energy kind of out there, to kind of exercise that through. And so now that he's done with Death Stranding, I could see him being like, all right, yeah. Now
and that's the other thing, too, that we're talking about here is that if you're going to go then make Silent Hills and do something different, right? Mm-hmm. So that's another 4 years of your life. And then were you already planning on wanting to do another
like Death Stranding 2?
Death Stranding 2. Yeah. Did you? I'm sure there's they're a studio.
They've talked about doing like smaller indie projects.
Exactly, and movies and all that. There's enough moving parts there that I'm just saying this opens the door and makes it easier. And then what does that mean to it? Who knows? I would fucking adore if they went back and did Metal Gear Solid. Just a remake or reimagining or whatever.
Or like just a Metal Gear Solid just in the hands of Kojima Productions with the same freedom that they had with Death Stranding.
Yeah.
I think could be really awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like we said, right, Metal Gear Solid 5 kind of had the chains of Konami on it. And so you can kind of tell that, like, okay, yeah, this isn't what they fully envisioned it to be, despite it being incredible still.
And, I mean, that's what you've got to be imagining. And I think when you talk about video game developers and having creative freedom and ideas and power and money and technology, right? At some point, no matter how happy anyone is with what they've created, I'd have to imagine you look back and go, man, but what if I had made Metal Gear now? What if I, knowing everything I know about video game development, knowing everything and how powerful these machines are, knowing how cinematic I can making it, knowing I now legitimately have a foothold in Hollywood and can get, not, and I'm not even trying to talk shit here or dunk on anybody, not get, oh, we got Kiefer Sutherland and he's done all of 30 minutes of dialogue, and it clearly is, no offense to Kiefer, just like he came in and read the thing, and he's not like embodying Big Boss, right? In the way that, you know, love or hate Death Stranding, right? Like Mads fucking Mikkelsen, Mads crushes that, right? Tommy Earl crushes that. And like, I think Norman crushes it too in a very in a different way because it is, as Norman Reedus, and it's hard to get around that.
Yeah.
But he does a great job with it.
But even still, like, despite that, you can still show that to somebody in Hollywood and be like, oh yeah, look at this game. Norman Reedus is in it. Mads Mikkelsen is in it. I want you to be in the next like step of this or the next iteration of this.
So yeah, even if it was a departure entirely of Metal Gear and it wasn't about Snake or Big Boss, right? It wasn't Solid Snake or Big Boss. If it was like we're going into the future with Meryl, we're doing some side story somewhere else is going on. Mm-hmm. We're trying to fill in this gap of the Les Enfants Terribles. You know what I mean?
There's a fourth twin.
There's only three, right? Well, Solidus, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, three, and then I guess
Liquid,
Big Boss.
If you count his arm being put onto him.
Yeah, I was thinking Liquid, Solid, and Solidus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I guess there's a fifth snake, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's Metal Gear and it's weird, and there's a bunch of different shit you could do with it or whatever. So even if it was just a Foxhound game, you know what I mean? And we went did that. Like, there's enough in there, and I think it would be attractive enough if you came back right now as PlayStation, and not even right now, 7 years now from PlayStation, be like, So Silent Hills went really well. Mm-hmm. We now have this relationship with them where we can use their IPs and make these amazing games. We're giving you this giant amount of money, and we're giving you the Metal Gear IP for whatever you're going to do with it. I'm sure you've already pitched something. Go and like see what that would be. Even if it was a smaller or a different game, that'd be rad.
What are your belief levels that these two Silent Hill games are happening? Being Silent Hill by the SIE Japan Studio with all these classic Silent Hill designers, and Silent Hills with Kojima. Do you think that's like that feels like it's too good to be true?
And I mean, obviously, you know, the rumors originated from Twitter user Aesthetic Gamer and Rely on Horror, two sources who have proven track records who report on rumors with reassuring confidence. I'm not taking away from them at all. Mm-hmm. It just sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, way too good to be true.
If anything, I would say the Silent Hill reboot sounds way more possible.
Like Silent Hills? Or
the one without Kojima.
Without Kojima, okay.
Yeah, the one with all the original people.
Yeah.
I think the reboot of that makes sense to me because if I'm Konami and I'm sitting there with all my IPs and going, don't give a shit, pachinko machines, if Sony shows up, knocks on your door, and is like, hey, look at the success Resident Evil is having right now with Resident Evil 2, with Resident Evil 3 about to drop, right? Look at how crazy that's doing. Look at what we were able to do with Death Stranding, having these... But let us broker a partnership in the same way we brokered this partnership with Spider-Man, where really you're giving us the IP, you get to whatever oversee it, but we're taking it and casting it and making things happen.
Yeah,
I think that is more likely than the Kojima part of it. I think if anything, it could be them saying, "Hey, we're going to do this. We're getting the original creators together. We'd love to talk about Silent Hills later. If you're open to it, are you open to it?" And they're like, we'll see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And then you talk to Kojima. You're like, hey, this is what's happening. We'd love to talk about maybe down the line. That conversation level could be happening as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't buy that this is all happening right now.
Yeah.
And if it is, and at the PlayStation 5 event, we fucking eat our words. God bless them.
Like,
go get them.
Silent Hill pops up on the screen with his logo, and then like, it's like Dash, Silent Hills, and it's like two.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know,
would be a great pop.
Dude, the way they would do it, right, is if they actually had, who knows how any of these games are far along, right? But the way I would do it is you have, like, Silent Hill is, we've done this thing with Konami, we've brokered this deal, here, the original creators, here's the first look at it, it's the teaser trailer, it's like, ah, it's awesome, blah, 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 you know, the trailer ends, and like, all right, and for the next thing, like, you know what, actually, let's do one more thing and bring Kojima out, and I'm back to old E3, I don't know if it's a state of play or whatever the fuck it is, or if it's the PlayStation 5 event, if that'll ever happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see. I wonder, though, if that muddies the message to have both these projects going on at the same time. Like, the idea of having a Silent Hill and then also having Silent Hills. Konami, I feel like, was able to kind of get away with it because Silent Hills seemed to be, like, the next iteration of Silent Hill, and so that would have been existing by itself. Whereas having these two projects going at the same time, I feel like, is so confusing. But the idea of, in the article here, it says, Sony pitched Kojima the Silent Hills revival as a narrative-driven experience akin to Until Dawn and Telltale's The Walking Dead series.
Yeah.
I feel like in the same way that Resident Evil is having a resurgence, I think the Until Dawn narrative, like, adventure game, choose-your-own-adventure thing with horror, I think it was super successful with Until Dawn, and I could see Sony being like, yeah, we want another one of those. And I don't know what Sony's relationship at this point is with Supermassive is the Until Dawn studio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the relationship with Supermassive is, but Supermassive is making games for all platforms now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Supermassive is locked into multi-game deal with Bandai Namco for that...
Dark Pictures Anthology.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
And so I could see Sony being like, yo, an exclusive one of those could be pretty cool since it worked so well with Until Dawn.
Yeah.
I think in the business side, it could work pretty well. But Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, hey guys, rumors have popped up claiming that Sony and Konami are working together on two new Silent Hill games. With Sony having been so close to Kojima these past years, and after Konami and Kojima's bad separation, how do you see this affecting Sony's relationship with Kojima? Could this push Kojima towards one of Sony's competitors? Say, hypothetically, Sony had to choose one and cut ties with the other, who do you think would be the better choice? Anyways, as always, keep being awesome. So, to answer the first part of the question, I don't think Kojima would care too much if Sony somehow attains the Silent Hill IP and wants to make a Silent Hill game.
I don't even think that the IP would... the IP front of it, I don't think Kojima gives a shit. If anything, it would be like, working with Konami, that would be the question.
Yeah.
And even that, I think he does not care.
Yeah.
Am I getting paid? Are you financing my crazy games? All right, cool.
Yeah, and Kojima doesn't seem like the type of dude to really... I don't know Kojima that well, but he doesn't seem the type of type of dude to really get bent out of shape about that. But where's the last part of the question? If Sony had to choose one and cut ties with the other, say if there was like a... We had to choose.
It's either them or me. Yeah. Kojima throws it out. He's got his bags packed. He's sitting there on the bed.
It's an easy choice. You cut Konami, man.
Yeah.
Like, they don't do anything.
I mean, how well did Death Stranding do financially?
I don't know.
And as far as I understand, it probably sold as well as they probably expected, but it didn't really do gangbusters by any means.
No.
Like, a new Silent Hill game might sell better than a Death Stranding.
That's the question, is if you really were down, you're talking about personal versus business, right? Where I think personal, if I'm Sony and stuff, I'm like, oh, well, Kojima's, you know, the Scorsese of our industry.
Yeah, exactly. Like the value of Kojima as a name and as like a feather in your cap, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
That's amazing.
But on a business side of it, and like, this is, I don't think anything that happened, but on the business side of it, Konami's like, oh, yeah, here's the war chest of all our IPs.
Yeah.
Sure, take Silent Hills, and when you want Metal Gear, take that. And when you, like, that's when it gets, like, or you actually want to do something with Contra. Like, you know, like, that would be like the more, like, I don't know where to actually do it. That's not a real conversation.
Yeah, I don't think that's not a real case.
Worth pointing out that I think, like, you know, to this rumor thing, right, that I like the idea of, like, I don't believe it because it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
But, like, what you're talking about of, like, Silent Hill versus Silent Hills and them happening at the same time, and is that confusing? And the fact that they're talking about doing narrative experience similar, right?
Yeah.
If you remember, and I was Googling while you were talking, back in July, or that's 2016, July 2016 there, January 23rd, 2020, and then, January 23rd, 2020, there's a whole bunch of stuff about... First off, in 2016, it was Kojima talking about how interesting he finds episodic gaming and how he'd like to tinker with that. And then the stuff that January 2020 was the we want to do a bunch of different things, including smaller projects, including movies, including episodic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking right now at Metro.
I could have sworn we talked about this recently.
The headline on Metro was Hideo Kojima wants to make smaller, weirder episodic games and movies and comics. And similarly, Shaq News' headline was Hideo Kojima wants to work on smaller episodic games.
Yeah.
So there is now, is that the tail wagging the dog, where it's like, I want to make up a rumor, or I've heard something and I'm connecting that, or is that really, were these the seeds that they were planting early, and he's like, I'd love to do that while having conversations.
The narrative adventure game thing and the episodic thing definitely feel like they work hand in hand. So we'll see. Number two, Media Molecule is launching Dreams beta evaluation. This comes from Media Molecule's community blog. This community, and this is in their words, I believe it was Shobhan, is that how you pronounce her name?
Oh, Siobhan?
Siobhan?
Yeah. It's Siobhan.
Siobhan.
Gotcha.
I've read her name so much, and I'm not actually, like, said it out loud.
I totally. And it's
she
that
came
thing.
Through to do
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
here,
totally,
yeah.
Totally. It's that thing where I do the same thing. You know how bad I am with it? But, like, watch the HBO show Secession. And Siobhan's, it's spelled the same way, but it's Siobhan, and they call her Shiv. So it's like, that's how you get it. It's a V instead of a B in there.
Gotcha.
Because words are confusing. Gotcha. Why should anything make sense? You
These
know
are
I mean?
Siobhan's words here. This community update has been a long time coming. Right from the very get-go, our goal has been that the Dreamiverse be a wonderful and attractive place for all types of creators. There have been some questions I have been asked that I would like to answer, whilst sneaking in a small announcement. Number one, who owns my original creation in Dreams? Answer, you do. You own the IP for the original creations that you make in Dreams. Number two, so I own my creation. What can I do with it? Answer, you can use your original creation, for example, in your artwork or music portfolio, in a collage, or design on your t-shirt. In other words, for your personal use. Number three, how can I use my creation for business purposes? Answer, we've had a lot of questions from creators about using Dreams for viable business opportunities off PlayStation, such as concept artwork. We welcome and encourage creators to do this, but it's new territory for us. We've been busy behind the scenes mapping out how we can make it easier for creators to do this in the future. We're kicking this off with a beta evaluation where creators can submit an application to use Dreams for a specific project. This is open to a limited group of users with the goal of learning how players want to use Dreams off PlayStation and how we may support this. If you're applying, you will need to have a project in mind, a time frame, and be willing to provide feedback to Media Molecule along the way, amongst other requirements outlined in the application. Please have a read of the terms that will apply, see link below. Please check out the beta evaluation page and have a read of the application criteria, terms, and process. The beta evaluation is only available to early access members in good standing. Please make sure you have published creations that can be viewed or a showreel showing work made in Dreams that can be viewable by Media Molecule. Number four, and this is the last question, what sort of projects does this apply to? Answer, We have had interest from concept artists and music video creators wanting to use Dreams as a tool for their work. We are eager to hear how you would like to use Dreams off platform. So please apply for the beta evaluation if you meet the criteria set out above. If you have any questions, then please send us an email here and we will let you know. I'm personally really excited for this to kick off in Dreams. We can see that there are so many amazing opportunities that this allows. Watch this space for further developments within the Dreamiverse. Greg, how do you feel about having full IP ownership?
I'm so fucking confused.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's confusing to me because it's that they've said from the beginning that you owned it, what you created in it. And now, granted, not in an FAQ or all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, when this broke today, I originally looked at it and I was like, oh, this is a rehash of information and moved on. And then I saw it get shared to Slack on Kind of Funny Games Daily and I went and read it again. I'm like, okay, I guess this beta is what's different. But the beta seems like an inconsequential step because you already said I own it, so why wouldn't I be able to do whatever the fuck I want with it?
I think she says here, right, that she's sneaking in a small announcement, and I guess the announcement is the beta evaluation.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first steps to kind of what we've talked about on PSLV before of, like, being able to either export, and this might be like a far-flung future kind of thing, but export your dreams into Unity or like they talk a lot about off-platform stuff. And as far as I know, you can't really, like, all your experiences in Dreams are kind of limited to the PS4. So I think these are ways to export your dreams onto PC or to other platforms in order to, like, if you made a music video in Dreams for you to then
use
export
that
it
on,
and then, like,
on YouTube, as
yeah, like
thing.
Be able to upload it to YouTube or be able to, you know, find ways to transfer your creations or your art to Photoshop or other programs.
Okay, that makes we've had the interest from concept artists, and again, like, I understood it more once I read it, but like, so it's talking about things outside of gaming or outside of dreaming, or whatever. So it's concept artists and music video creators. I guess not being either one of those is what gets confusing for me.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, a music video, okay, if I wanted to make a music video in Dreams, I'd make the music video in Dreams and then record it and then upload it to YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then concept art, like, same thing. I would be like, here's a screenshot of the concept art that I've done. You can see it. I can put it in my portfolio.
But not being
those people, I don't understand how.
Yeah,
that
I think there's a certain level of retaining the quality of the work and not having, like, the drop in whether it's resolution or sound quality
when
you're, like, recording it, or video quality when you're recording it, and being able to maybe even take something out of Dreams and then edit it further. Like, say, I don't know why they reference concept artists and music video creators specifically, because I think this can apply to a lot of things. But say if you are a musician and you're making music in Dreams, the idea of being able to export that at full
quality.
Highest quality possible, and being able to, like, take that and then have, let's say, a WAV file or a .OGG file, like an OGG file.
Love an OGG file.
And which I believe, like, OGG files will then carry, like, the highest, well, it's a very high quality file. Be able to take that and then at that high quality, then edit it further in like whatever music audio software you have, whatever DAW you have, be able to do that. I think that then I think that's what this is about.
Okay.
And so I think we'll see the ripples of this later on.
Oh, sure.
When they flesh this stuff out.
What Media Molecule is great at and is doing these beta things. And what the beta thing is hey, you go, let's troubleshoot this with a small group of creators who want to do this, that so that we can figure out the tool, so that we can just drop it on indreams.me.
Yeah.
You'll have access to it and you'll be able to go do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
Because, so I'm, you know, from what they've talked about before of, like, you know, the hope is that your sculptures you'll be able to 3D print and all these different ideas they have for it. That's where I was hung up on this. Well, I was like, using that example, I was like, well, I know you're going to let me 3D print eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So once I do, why would I need your permission to sell my 3D printed sculptures or whatever?
Yeah.
But it makes more sense for what you're talking about of bringing something you've made in Dreams out of Dreams, being able to edit, tweak it, get it at the highest quality.
Yeah.
Fix it that
and
way.
I don't know, like, what their exact wording is on things like 3D printing, but I imagine this would then be part of those steps.
Yeah.
Like, say, like, maybe you don't 3D print directly from Dreams because there's... It might be very difficult to figure out how you connect a 3D printer directly to a PS4, but being able to take a certain...
USB's got it. It's easy.
Be able to take that file and then... I don't know shit about 3D printing, but I imagine maybe there's some sort of program, right? Or program file you take, export it out of Dreams, put it in your PC, and then 3D print it from your PC. Like, I think that's what this is all about.
Now, you talked about, you know, exporting it to Unity and working in Unity and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's long term what they're doing it smaller here with these ideas, right? Of like, all right, you know, music videos, concept art. But are they moving us closer and closer to export your game to Unity and you can get it running and you can put it on the Epic Game Store. And you can
like,
put it
I kind of, at a certain point, I kind of gave up hope that that's what they're going for, because they mentioned that before years
ago. A long time ago,
And it's one of those things where, in my mind, that sounds so difficult to be able to figure out, especially with, like, content ownership 100%. And, like, selling games and all this stuff, right?
Not
and,
to mention, again, like, the idea that content ownership being, like, somebody put Superman in their game, right? Like, that's not approved. But also the what I feel would be the sticky thing of, cool, so Dreams, I guess we might have signed away all our rights when we did, like, the EULA or whatever when we agreed. Mm-hmm. But the idea that, cool, someone remixed my level, and then they put that out, tweaked it, but they published it.
Like, somebody took the tree that I made and put it in their
game.
Are we
profit sharing?
Yeah,
or when I said, hey, publicly, this is out there, did I waive all my rights to that?
Yeah, and so the idea of exporting to Unity then gets complicated. Maybe it's a thing where you can only export things to Unity when one it's your full creation, or you've gotten permission, like explicit permission given in the game from everybody who's had their hand in this thing, then you're able to export. That's probably the solution. Like, I gave up on the idea that Unity might be a thing, but with them starting off this post talking about IP ownership and saying that, hey, for original creations you own the IP, and then going on to talk about exporting, that then makes me think that, they're thinking long-term about how to get you to be able to export your games into Unity and actually, you know, be able to sell games or do whatever you want with your content, which is, like, huge.
The dream,
That is the dreams.
Ah!
Yeah.
He's got it today. He's got the juice, guys.
Number three, Square Enix has an E3 update. This comes directly from their Twitter. They tweet out an image.
Well, and real quick, too.
Yeah.
Shout out to you for making the image big. So I don't have to do more of this. You don't have to be all on it like this trying to read these tweets.
The image itself was already in a high resolution when I copied it over. Okay, and so it just appeared big. But, like, if whenever companies – or whenever – I forget what thing I was reading the other day.
You're reading tweets.
Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, like, already – it was small. And if the resolution isn't high already, if I enlarge it, I'm not going to be able to read it because all the text is going to be foggy. And so whenever you tweet your images, tweet them in high quality, 1080p by whatever, 720p. Boom. Make it fill the page. The tweet reads, E3 2020 update. Of course, again, this is from Square Enix. As the world is echoed and united, nothing is more important than protecting the health and well-being of our employees and their families, our partners, and unquestionably, our fans. We support the ESA's decision to cancel E3 2020 and send our strongest heartfelt appreciation to everyone that works tirelessly to bring unforgettable games and experiences to E3. We understand that this is disappointing not only to our respective developers and publishers, but also to the thousands of fans who venture from afar to celebrate games at E3. We're right there with you. Our 2020 lineup and the next generation that lies beyond is stronger than ever for Square Enix. Where E3 has always been an incredible moment in time to showcase our upcoming games, we're exploring other options to share our games with you. More to come. Stay tuned. Thank you. And so, there you go.
I saw this and I was like, what a weird post to put up. But this late. Like,
that's the thing is that it's late. Like,
if I was worried about Square Enix's E3, wouldn't I have wanted to know this when E3 got canceled?
Like,
this is the
exact same statement that everybody else put out minutes after the ESA.
Exactly, right? Like, how many approvals did this have to go through to be like,
listen,
sucks E3's not here.
Like,
but
you can
we'll
tell that, like, you know, they were waiting on an approval and somebody was probably out of office.
Yeah.
And didn't show up until this morning.
It came up
and be
like,
sign off on it.
All right, cool. Like, this is. All right.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. I'm glad you're not quitting games.
Honestly, though,
got canceled.
I am kind of excited for all these different digital events that are going to happen.
Totally.
Whenever they happen. Like, the idea that, like, we're going to get a bunch of directs, whether they're happening in the same week or, like,
the best part is going to be ranking them all.
Oh,
The ones that are really good at it and the ones that are just awful. That are just awful. Because there's a reason a lot of people stopped doing press conferences, right, at E3, because they were terrible.
I'm
going to
be honest, I don't have that much faith in Square Enix's digital event. Because they did that 2 years ago, I want to say, because last year was the conference where they ended with Avengers,
yeah.
And the year before that was, I believe, where they, like, showed off. Well, that was the one where it was like Kingdom Hearts, and like the Kingdom Hearts trailers didn't have sound in them, and that whole digital. And that's the one where they also debuted The Quiet Place
The Quiet Man.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was not good.
This could be great. And the game just, like, farted out one day, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's bad."
I was one of those people who I was like, oh, this looks kind of fun, a beat 'em up.
Oh, no, it did look fun.
And you're quiet? Okay, cool. And then it came out, and I was like, oh,
damn.
This is a Square Enix game. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Number four, February U.S. sales down 29%, says MPD. This comes from Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. The games industry kicked off the year with two straight months of double-digit declines across the board. The industry tracking NPD Group today reported its U.S. game industry consumer spending numbers for February, showing overall sales down 29% year-over-year to $755 million. On the software side, NPD found sales of the game software it tracks, which includes physical software and full game digital sales from selected publishers, were down 36% year-over-year to $307 million. NPD analyst Matt Piscatella pointed to a light release slate as the main driver of the declines. The NPD's top 20 chart featured no new releases.
Wah, 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 wah.
The platform-specific top 10 charts were similarly devoid of new titles except for that of the PS4, which saw Media Molecule's Dreams as the 8th best-selling game for the system. Is that good?
No, but it's nice to see them break in. If we're going to clap for them, I'm going to clap for Dreams every time.
That's fair.
Eighth for the system.
Yeah, it is kind of, oh, man. While Tom Clancy's The Division 2 jumped from outside the top 20 to a fifth-place finish for the month, the resurgence of interest in the shooters set in a pandemic-devastated U.S. appears more a product of promotional pricing than current events. Piscatella noted that it was deeply discounted during the month, selling for as little as $3 digitally or $5 at retail, which explains a lot because I bought that game for $3 digital, even though I already owned it physically, just because I could.
Why not?
Hardware numbers were similarly down, with spending off 34% year-over-year to $183 million and year-over-year declines for every platform. As in January, accessories and game cards were also down, but fared better than the hardware and software markets. NPD reports that accessories and game card sales fell 14% to $265 million. The Xbox One Elite Series 2 controller retained its spot as the best-selling accessory for the fourth month in a row. And then here's your top 20 based on dollar sales for the period between February 2nd and February 29th. I'm going to start at number 20, and then I'm just going to work my way down until we get to number 1. So at number 20, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Need for Speed Heat, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, FIFA 20, Just Dance 2020, and then at 15, Pokemon Sword, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Red Dead Redemption 2, Luigi's Mansion, Minecraft. Number 10, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Madden NFL 20, Ring Fit Adventure.
Of course.
Wow. That's at number 7.
I think keeps going, yeah.
Yeah, I keep hearing more and more good things about Ring Fit Adventure, and for the times we're in, that might be a good investment to get active.
100%.
So there you go. At number 6, Mario Kart 8. Number 5, Tom Clancy's The Division 2. Number 4, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. At number 3, Grand Theft Auto 5. Jesus Christ. At number 2, NBA 2K20. And then at number 1 is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019. So that's your top 20 for NPD sales.
And heartbreaking there, right? For the top 20 overall, no dreams.
No dreams.
Again, it's platform-specific top 10 charts were similarly devoid of new titles, except for that of PS4, which saw Media Molecule's Dreams as the 8th best-selling game for the system. I'll be interested to see where Dreams ranks on the blog for the most downloaded game of the month.
You think it's going to be higher or lower?
No, I just think it's going to be interesting to see where it ranks. Period. Okay. I don't have any information on where it'll actually be.
Number 5.
Oh, that's all you want to talk about?
I mean, do you have anything else for that one that you want to point out?
It's expected that you'd have February be down. Not that much new stuff that's
like
cool
last,
out.
Because last year, what, we had Anthem, and I can't remember if Division came out in February or March.
Yeah, no, it did, right? Because we just had the anniversary for the Division 2. I think that's one of the reasons they were pushing everything the way they were pushing.
But was that beginning of March, though?
It's a great question.
I want to say Division 2 might have been very early March.
February 7th, 2019.
Oh, February 7th?
Yep.
Was Division?
Yeah, Division 2, February 7th, 2019, according to Wikipedia.
That can't be right, because it came out after Anthem, right? And Anthem wasn't until around that time.
March 15th, 2019.
There you go. There I you was go. Like, wait a second.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah. I got booted. Or I didn't get booted. That's what it was.
But around this time last year was definitely way more active for video games. Like, Apex Legends came out also in February last year. And I want to say Jump Force, which... not a great game, but still sold quite a bit.
What's your prediction for next month's NPD?
For March?
Yeah. Not...
Oh, I think it's because we have an active month this month.
I think it's going to be gangbusters. Yeah. And I think part of that is everybody working from home slash, you know, not, you know, what is it, social distancing. Like, not wanting to leave your house, right?
Yeah.
Like, Animal Crossing was going to fucking dominate no matter what.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal was going to do incredibly well no matter what.
Yeah.
But then it also becomes this conversation of... what does this mean for NPD physical versus digital? Like, I do think that suddenly, I think a lot of people who are like fucking nah, I love getting my games retail, aren't going to do that as much. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see people actually jump on and download stuff rather than start running out.
Yeah.
Like you saw AT&T's removing data caps for the foreseeable future or whatever.
Yeah.
Comcast, get your shit together.
Yeah, please, Comcast.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of little... I mean, we've talked about this a lot, right? But, I mean, all these different ripples are going to be caused from this coronavirus stuff and from what we're at right now with the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I will be fascinated to see what that means for game sales. Because you can't go to the movies, or you shouldn't go to the movies.
Yeah.
You can't go to concerts. You can't go to sporting
shouldn't
events.
Shouldn't go to the club.
Right. You should not be doing it for the ratchets.
My Friday plans.
You know what I mean?
But it's going to be good no matter what, I think, this month. But in compared to last year, so last year's March had Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, I believe, Division 2,
yeah.
Devil May Cry 5, Yoshi's Crafted World. No, Resident Evil 2 came out in January. Was Days Gone March? No. Double check me on all these because I might be lying because I'm just looking up on – this is what Google's telling me.
Days Gone was April 26, 2019.
Okay. But yeah, like a Doom, Animal Crossing.
Year over year, any of that shit. I think it's going to be a big
just
March.
In general,
and I think it's
going to
be
March,
the second half of the year or second half of the month that really carries it.
Yeah.
In terms
of
like,
sure.
This whole thing being down, of course. And Matt Piscatella, a friend of the show and very smart man, is like, it's because there's no new releases.
Yeah.
Like, this is why.
Yeah.
Dreams, while a great game that you should buy and play, I totally get not going gangbusters and being on NPDs.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where every time I go into the Dreamiverse, I can't remember if this is in Dreams.me or the actual Dreamiverse, but it'll tell you how many players are online. And it's always like, yeah, that's not that many. But
yeah, it's in Dreams.me tells you when you go there, right?
Yeah.
I got to sign in, I think, for it. No, it's right now 3,800 players are online.
3,800.
Not
okay.
Great.
Yeah, it's not.
Also, you figure, too, for Dreams, a huge quagmire for getting any numbers that are going to look good on that because, of course, does this count early access when I bought it a year ago? No, probably.
Well, I'm assuming that. Well, that's number or people that are online right now, right?
No, I throw that number out. Sorry, I was talking about NPD, right?
NPD
of like,
sales.
Oh, it didn't track that well, and it's not in the top. Well, no,
gotcha.
Because I think the hardest of hardcore already own it.
Gotcha.
They just updated their game. Yeah,
I didn't think about that. Number five, Niantic's introducing some changes to Pokemon Go due to coronavirus. This comes from a blog post from the Pokemon Go team. They write, trainers, first of all, Abra Community Day has been postponed, which I don't play Pokemon Go, but the idea that there's a thing called Abra Community Day lightens my heart. What's up, Barrett?
Shout out to Abra.
Abra was always a bitch to catch, though.
Yes.
Because every time you'd see Abra in the wild, just
Abra,
teleport.
Kadabra, and?
Alakazam.
Yeah.
They continue. We'll also be making the following changes to Pokemon Go.
I like Porygon.
Porygon is also great. Have you seen Porygon 2?
Like the sequel to him or his evolution?
Both, kind of.
I evolved one once. I don't know.
Yeah, Porygon evolves into Porygon 2. And Porygon 2 is like all... Yeah, I think it's Porygon 2.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Porygon 2. And it's like all like sleek and
I'll tell
shiny.
You right now, Porygon 2 fucking sucks. This
really?
Sucks.
You don't like Porygon 2?
No, Porygon's way better than this guy. What's Porygon 3?
I don't know if there's a Porygon 3.
We'll look it up.
This guy just evolves twice?
I don't think
twice.
There can't be a Porygon 3. No.
Don't they all have three evolutions?
Yeah, that's legit.
No, they don't all have three evolutions.
Most all have three evolutions?
Yeah, Porygon didn't have an evolution for a while.
Yeah, I don't think Porygon... I think Porygon 2 was
trying to hold
second
them
back. Gen. Like, a lot of Pokemon don't have evolutions or only have two. Some have, like, 9 Eevee. Oh, Porygon Z. Is that real?
Yeah.
Huh.
You don't know nothing.
They continue in their article, or in their blog post. We will also be making the following changes to Pokemon Go, which are effective starting now until further notice. A one-time purchase bundle of 30 incense for one Pokecoin. Pokecoin. Incense will also last for 1 hour. Half hatch distance when eggs are placed into incubators during this time period. Pokestops will now drop gifts more frequently. And then lastly, Pokemon habitats will increase and more Pokemon will be appearing in the wild. Be sure to follow us on social media, opt in to receive push notifications, and subscribe to all our emails. Stay tuned, the Pokemon Go team. All right, and that's all to account for everybody kind
of
being at home.
Of course,
for coronavirus.
Yeah, they don't want you wandering out there with all sorts of people.
Yeah, and then Andrew Goldfarb tweets and adds more context. PSA, Pokemon Go is currently selling 30 incense for one Pokecoin. 100 Pokecoins is $1. Incense attracts Pokemon to your location, so this is for people stuck at home right now. They also currently last 1 hour each instead of the usual 30 minutes. So if you're a Pokemon Go player, that's all news for you. That sounds awesome. And if you have been thinking about jumping into Pokemon Go, boom. from the comfort of your own home. You don't have to walk or anything.
Can I toss one out here?
Go for it.
I got it. It's a you're wrong, but it's not that you're wrong. But it's nanobiologist not giving me information that I want. I should give Comcast some credit. I have an article here from WXYZ.com. It's like, you know, one of, it's ABC Channel 7 from wherever.
Oh, okay.
Comcast offering Internet Essentials package free for low-income customers for 60 days.
Oh,
Comcast
that's cool.
announced Thursday it will be increasing speeds for the Internet Essentials program and making the program free to low-income customers for 2 months amid the coronavirus outbreak. In a letter, the president said that the change is for the millions of low-income Americans who don't have internet service during this uncertain time. It's to help them stay connected to families, workplaces, and more. The speeds are increasing from 15 megabits per second to 25. Those new customers will get complimentary Internet Essentials service package for 60 days, which is normally available for qualified low-income households for $10 a month. And the speeds are increasing for new and existing customers. So good on you on that one, Comcast.
Good on you. Greg, I'm excited to see what other internet providers add. Give us all the cool features.
Dude, me too.
Give me all the cool features. But that's probably so far away. If I want to know where I could go to find out what's coming to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
Blessing, the answer is simple. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do.
Yeah, fuck you, Greg. Yeah.
Why fuck me?
You stumbled on it.
Oh, of course. I never read that. I don't know any of this. And I was on another page. I was reading about Comcast. Like, oh, fuck, right. That's my job.
Before I get to out today, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads.
Wait, whoa. Speaking of ads, you know what I like about ads?
What's that?
Just giving them a nice little buffer. Because maybe, one of the things we haven't told you about in your job, because like we don't tell you, the best way to learn how to parachute is to jump out of the plane, right?
Yes.
So sometimes it's just easier to do this and tell you about your job and let it cook for a second to let it go for a second.
Yes.
Because if anybody ever, like, I don't know, drops the F-bomb right before an ad, you need to give like a 30-second buffer, and I think we're good. Now go.
That's a really good point, because I totally did not get the lay down on that.
I mean, our sponsors are so cool, they probably wouldn't care, but I don't need anybody getting in there.
Just to be safe, we should add some buffers.
We're done now. It's good.
This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy, getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. You know it, when Greg moved to SF, he needed a loan, and that loan had a terrible interest rate. Upstart would have helped. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked top ranked in their category with a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kfgames. Next, let me tell you about Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers this year, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. Tim got this for his mom because he noticed that she was paying for all sorts of stuff she wasn't using. Why? Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. I don't know why I did that with my hands.
It was great.
Because as soon as I got to 12, I was like, oh no, I don't have enough. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get your plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com slash games. That's mintmobile.com/games. Cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/games. Lastly, we're brought to you by Brooke Linen. Greg, Tim, and so many more Kind of Funny members only sleep on Brooke Linen sheets because they're the most comfortable sheets in the world. Be like us. You know Brooke Linen as the internet's favorite sheets, but they're also home to bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. That's a lot of reviews right there. Greg loves them because they're soft, stylish, and easy to build online. Brooke Linen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers and directly with consumers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. All luxury products without the luxury markup. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer bathroom and life essentials. That's towels, shower curtains, bath mats, robes, and candles to add that extra lavish touch. Even ultra soft loungewear, making you feel like you never left the bed. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES only at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. And hey, New Yorkers, if you're listening, you can get the internet's favorite sheets and more in real life. Visit Brooke Linen's first store in Brooklyn at 127 Kent Avenue in Williamsburg. Brooke Linen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Nailed it.
Out today. Well, before we get to out today, actually, Tony Baraka writes in and says, hey, Blessing and Tim, this is an I'm wrong follow-up.
Well, you're wrong again because it's Greg.
My deepest apology for writing into yesterday's show to say that Round Guard came out. I confused what day it was. The Peckle-like game, Round Guard, in fact, comes out today. Tim, you should play it. Keep up the great work. Tony Baraka. Greg, I saw you tweeting about
Tony Baraka, if you skipped yesterday's Kind of Funny Games Daily, wrote in saying, hey, out today is Round Guard. You should play it. And I was like, I didn't see this anywhere. Thank you, Tony, for putting this on the list. I love Peggle. And he did it specifically for Tim. I was like, I love Peggle. Thank you for telling me about it. And then I forgot all about it. And then I got to my desk this morning and got an update from Apple Arcade, which you'll read in your later on there. Yeah. And saw Round Guard came to Apple Arcade today. And I thought, oh, it was some kind of exclusivity window. Like yesterday was Switch, Xbox, and PC, and now it's on Apple Arcade. Mm. Download Apple Arcade. Tony, this game is fucking great. Round Guard nice. Is fucking awesome. And you
he was right. You
it.
Did. You do really like it, Tim.
I'm not Tim.
Well, you're not Tim. It hasn't been Tim the whole time.
If you'd be like, oh man, same. Tim put on a shirt and tie. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? But no, I wear glasses. What? I'm the white guy with glasses and overweight problems.
He's got laser eyes. You're Greg?
I'm Greg. This looks like Tim. And I'd be like, oh man, I sure did love Jimmy Z's rap record with you. Oh, that's Tim.
You mean Jay Electronica?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Thank you, Vermont.
I don't see that.
Anyways, though, it is great. It is on Apple Arcade. It's a steal for Apple Arcade subscription, which I love. And Tony, don't feel bad because you did the right thing where you promoted the game ahead of time so people knew about it today. And now people know to pick it up. I'm going to get it on PlayStation 4 as well, I bet.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it does have a platinum? Have you seen it yet?
I bet it has. Well, I haven't seen it. A great question.
Yeah.
It's coming soon, which would make me say, no, it doesn't. It's got to have a platinum. But, I don't think I'll get the platinum. I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
That type of thing where it's like way too difficult.
You imagine, right?
Also out today, Stella for Switch and PC. And I've actually previewed Stella at a PAX.
Stella!
It's like if you like Inside or Limbo, check out this game. Watch a trailer. It might be for you. Mecho Tales for Xbox One. Or Mecho Tales? Mecho Tales? Mecho Tales. Dead or School for PS4 and Switch. Neo 2 for PS4. My Hero 1's Justice 2 for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And I've demoed I demoed My Heroes 1, My Hero 1's Justice 1, which wasn't that great in my opinion. But the second one might be better.
Yeah, people have been asking me like, are you going to play this? Or are you going to check it out? I'm going to check it out this weekend. I'm not very hopeful about it, though. I'm not like, oh shit, this is going to be my game. Like,
I was thinking about picking this for my 104 games for the PS Love You segment, but like, having played some of the first one,
that's
like,
kind of cheating, though, because My Hero is a known quantity.
But it's not like AAA.
It's not AAA. It's not a AAA
like,
game.
Also, looking at the game, it's published by Bandai Namco, and like seeing gameplay, I was like, this does look like... It doesn't have AAA budget by any means, but it has
I sent you a code for this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so report back. I'll check it out.
If it's good, I might also check it out.
Also, everybody, spoiler alert, I'm looking here at the Steam achievements for Round Guard, and there's a ton of them, so they should have platinum. There's no, it'll have platinum.
Yeah, and also code provided by PlayStation, but I do have MLB The Show 20 that I'll also be checking out this weekend. I have not played it yet. The embargo lifted last night.
It's the only way you're going to get baseball in 2020.
I know. Yep. Yep.
Wild times we live in. Also out today, Ritual Crown of Horns for Xbox One, Rainbows, Toilets, and Unicorns for Switch. Barrett, I might need to need you to look up Rainbows, Toilets, and Unicorns for Switch. Alder's Blood for Switch, Rack and Ruin for Switch, Cider Reloaded for Switch, Jump Step Step for Switch, Translation for Switch, Super Destronaut Land Wars for PS4 and Switch, which I'm playing right now, Yoga Master for Switch, Deep Diving Adventures for Switch, Borderlands 3 for PC, that's the Steam release, Maya of the Desert for PC, Spunk and Splat for PC, Round Guard for PC, Make Me Lag for PC, Seals of Bygone for PC, and then Round Guard, of course, is also coming to Apple Arcade. And then the Apple Arcade games get an update. Agent Intercept, Charrua Soccer, Down in Bermuda, Hexaflip, Red Rain, Super Impossible Road, The Mosaic, and Ultimate Rivals, The Rink, all coming to Apple Arcade.
Well, no, those are all updates.
Are all getting updates. They're already out there. For Apple Arcade.
Okay, there it is. Nailed it. Nice.
Bear, show us Rainbow, Toilets, and Unicorns.
Three things I love.
So far, I like the style. It was like a...
Oh, he's going to poop or pee.
It's like a colorful...
Oh, no, he's pooping.
Bit. Oh, this was not what I was expecting at all.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
So it's a shmup or whatever where you got rainbows coming out your ass. Yeah, you're firing like with unicorns.
Is that?
That's Trump. Yeah, that's definitely Trump. Yeah. There's some Facebook
likes. Emojis in the background.
God damn, they got me, guys.
Very fun, very loud. Shoot 'em up. Vertical shoot 'em up, too. Unicorn. All right, you can get rid of this.
That's how you sell a fucking game.
I'm a nice guy. In the background, that's funny. Or is that nice? Okay, no, yeah, that's nice. For a second, I was like, is that a K?
I'm a nice guy.
New dates.
Is that another Flappy Flap Z man?
Jay Electronica. He's the one that wrote I'm a Nice Guy.
Let's have a fun show.
New dates for you. The Control Expansion 1, the Foundation, releases March 26th. And I have the trailer in here for you, for Barrett, if you want to show it. But at this point, we're late in the show, so I don't know if we want to take... What's after this? Screencast?
Yeah, screencast.
Nobody cares about screencast.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's only 20 seconds long, so yeah, let it play. I want to see what this is.
Marshall's been missing for a while now. Any ideas where she could be?
The last time I saw her was in maintenance when I was leading the Rangers out of the Atlas.
She's got darkness, people hanging like they do in Control. Darkness.
She said she had to go check on something.
Marshall's missing? Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Is Marshall the girl from the, like, is she the girl you keep reporting to?
I do not remember anymore. Yeah.
It's not even been so long, but it's been long enough to where I'm like, I don't know who the Control characters are. I want to say Marshall.
I'm on it.
Is like the upbeat girl.
Helen Marshall is head of operations. It's this woman. No, it's not who you're thinking of. Helen Marshall is head of operations for the Federal Bureau of Control and former member of the Zachariah Trench's management team.
Yeah, I was way off.
Yeah, she's just somebody who gives you quests. I don't even remember her. Do not remember her at all.
But she's gone, so you got to find her.
I'll go get
her. Expansion. And then
you gonna play that?
I would like to, but I don't think I will because there's too many games.
Sure. Busy.
Joy Masher will be available to download from the PS Store on the 24th and 25th of March in North America and Europe, respectively. Now it's time for reader mail, of course. If you want to write in, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can also get the show ad-free. We already did ads. Let's see here. We have multiple questions. I'm only going to ask one since we're so far on the show. So, Greg, do you want to talk about Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal delays, or do you want to talk about...
I want to talk about Animal Crossing delays. What do you know that I don't know?
I don't know anything. Braden X writes in and says, is there any chance for a last-minute Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal delay with how much has changed just in these last couple of days with the viral outbreak throughout the world? I know deep down, these are just games, and there are more important things to worry about, but with all the craziness, it's nice to have something to look forward to as positive as Animal Crossing, and I would be devastated if a delay came out of nowhere.
It's too late. No, they're fine. You're fine. The back to our thing where we're talking about here with NPD numbers and how it's going to look in March and all these different, or next year or next month, looking back at March. I do think that there's the chance. This is not where it seems to be. I'm not trying to incite a panic at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every morning I wake up and Jen looks at the phone and tells me something horrible and wholly unbelievable. As things continue to get weirder around here, you do worry that in 7 days, if you ordered these things online, retail copies, do we get to the 20th? Is the postal service running? Is the supply chain screwed up to a point where they've leaned back on that kind of stuff? In terms of that would be my only concern for a delay. Digitally, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And honestly, I say this trying to tell you, I'm not trying to incite a panic. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be fine getting it delivered to you as well.
Yeah,
I
imagine. Like,
I don't think we're gonna be to that point where postal service and Amazon's shut down too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think. That would be the only problem. The games themselves, they're fine. They're in production. They're ready.
Yeah, video games come to a point that
I honestly
so many
do,
other
and I
ways
do believe, it, like, if retail wasn't a thing anymore, if it had already gone away, they would have released Animal Crossing already. They would have been like, "Hey, man, we understand this is all fucked up. Here's Animal Crossing."
Yeah,
you can't do that, obviously, and piss off your retail partners, piss off your audience that is waiting on retail copies.
Yeah.
All I know is that the fucking Animal Crossing Switches are getting delivered as they're supposed to be. I see everybody putting
up
their
photos. Yeah, and I've seen the notifications go up on people's Amazons that like that it's already the game's already shipped, and then also like Doom Eternal just released the launch trailer yesterday, and so like they're still promoting those games. They're still planned to come out. I it's way too late in the game to change anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like for game releases in general, now, every time I've spoken on anything coronavirus related, I feel like I've gotten it wrong. So I'm almost scared to say the words, but I feel like with the advent of digital games and delivery and all this stuff, I don't foresee games coming out in the next couple of months getting delayed due to coronavirus. I'm just going to say that and hope that I don't fuck things up.
I mean, it's the normal. We can't say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing is I think Animal Crossing and Doom obviously already went gold a while ago.
Yeah.
And so you might be doing day one patches and bug stuff like that. But that ship's out of the station. It is more of a question for stuff that's further down the line.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not even trying to do this, and I know nothing, blah, blah, blah. But like Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, in the lead up right now to that going gold and getting that thing finalized, if Naughty Dog moves to a work from home thing, does that
slow
things
down? Yeah, do they have
the
infrastructure? Like, do they know, do they have that, like, the infrastructure in place for a work from home program?
That's the more immediate concern of where does that for games that are in that window right now that are on their final
polishing,
push
up.
That's the first things you'd be looking for in terms of ripples. And then as you get further out now, it gets into, okay, what about games that were being worked on? Granted, you can work from home and you can do it, but it's way harder with a AAA studio and VPNs and internet speeds and everything else, let alone the fact of, cool, I'm working at Ubisoft. This is an example I'm pulling up out of my ass. I just know that about their giant motion capture studio. Mm-hmm. I'm working at Ubisoft. We were flying up actors A, B, and C to come do these scenes, and now they're grounded. They can't leave their country. This has happened. We don't feel comfortable. Like, that pushes that part back to the thing of, you're now looking at, like, really 2021, 2022 games that are going to be like impacted by this.
Yeah.
You might never know that they were impacted by this. This will probably be an interesting anecdote or
anecdote
in, you know, the press coverage of those games when we get closer.
Yeah.
Of like, oh yeah, this game was supposed to be out whatever ago, but because of COVID stuff, we lost a month, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever it turns out to be.
I can see that. Now it's time to squad up. Liam writes in with a squad up on Xbox One and says, I'm looking for best friends to play the new Call of Duty Battle Royale. I have a young daughter, so my game time is very sporadic, and I find it hard to organize matches with people. I really enjoyed what I played of it so far, but it's all been solo queue, and I'd love to find some new friends to play some games and have some fun. Should also mention, I am by no means a pro. I just like to play shooter games and blame lag like everyone else. I'm in England and usually free either afternoon or evening in merry old GMT.
P.S. Oh, I get that.
P.S. I've been addicted to UFC 3 for years now, so if anyone wants to scrap, hit me up for that too. Liam's Xbox username is Muppet Lead. That's Muppetlead. Sorry.
Is this
the way that it came out? And I didn't realize it would have sounded like that when I read it. MUPP.
It's funny, everybody. It's funny.
I like the UFC shout out also because I absolutely love the UFC games, and I haven't played UFC 3, but I was like hella addicted to UFC Undisputed 2 and 3, and then EA UFC 1 that came out for PS4 and some of 2. But you know, if you played that on Xbox, or not on Xbox, if you played that on PlayStation instead of Xbox, I might have thought about it. Muppet Lead. But too bad. It's unfortunate. Now it's time for one of them rotating segments. This week, it's required reading.
Ooh.
Marie Day Alessandri of GamesIndustry.biz put out an article called How to Create a Successful Patron or Patreon that features Greg Miller, Joey Noel, and myself.
That's right.
Yeah, and so...
Some hack named Andrea Renee, too.
Yeah. Who knows who that is?
No.
And RKG. Just a bunch
There's
of...
Everybody you'd expect.
Yeah, a bunch of creators that you love that do stuff with Patreon are quoted in the article. And so, yeah, go to GamesIndustry.biz, show it some love. I think it's their feature article, How to Create a Successful Patreon. Boom. And if you're looking to figure out how to make a successful Patreon, that could be good for you, too.
On top of that, I'm on Jeff Grubb's business podcast today, talking about it.
Oh.
Thank you very much. They didn't do that on purpose, I don't think.
What's the switch for?
GamesBeat. You can go, if you go to GamesBeat Twitter, you can find it. Greg Miller on Making Money on by talking about games. How Games Make Money is the podcast with Jeff Grubb. I'm going to download that Rainbow Unicorn Fart game. Yeah. What is it? Rainbows, Toilets, and Unicorns.
Yeah.
But I tried to do it like by looking into... Like doing it on the eShop, but
like remote downloading.
Yeah, the eShop. When I clicked on it, right, it went whoops, and it's Wario, and there's nothing there.
Oh,
and then I went to.
Can you remote download things on the eShop?
Oh,
that
yeah.
feels like, that feels advanced for Nintendo.
Oh yeah, bro.
I didn't.
Well,
know
you
that.
Can get well, yeah, because when I redeem codes, it automatically kicks it. So when you buy it, it's the same thing, right? And on nice. Top of that, I was looking at it and I was like, well, I want to buy this Rainbow game, right? And oh, there's Round Guard too, right there. Yeah, there it is, $6.99. And when I went to the developer's profile. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll request a code. Maybe I'll do that kind of thing. Went there. They're in Rome. So they're in Italy. They got a lot of
yeah,
problems.
You just got to let them relax.
You can have the $7. So I'll give you the $7.
Next week's hosts are as follows. And keep in mind, this week, 4 out of 5 days have not, like, gone as planned. And
we're
so,
adjusting as things happen.
Yeah. And so take this all with a grain of salt. But next week's hosts are as follows. Monday, it's Greg and me. Tuesday, it's Greg and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim. And then Friday is Greg and me again. It's a full Greg week, tentatively.
Yeah, we'll see how much that actually nets out as.
We shall see.
All right, Rainbows, Toilets, and Unicorns is downloaded.
Downloaded.
And downloading. Come on now. It's instantaneous.
I mean, how many megabytes?
I was able to use my gold coins for it, so there you go.
How many megabytes or gigabytes is it? Because that thing could have already been downloaded by now.
That's a great point, actually.
Think about it. Yeah, you can play it right now. Of course.
Switch is I have one bar of service, though, you know?
Okay, well.
Did we do your own?
We're smart. Thank you, Barrett, because I was about to close. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Write in to let us know what we got wrong as we get it wrong. Let's see here. There's not that many, it looks like. Or my Excel is being weird, and there is more than I thought there was.
No, you got the right amount. I'm working from the bottom up, clearing out things you have to worry
about. Oh, you're clear. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I was clearing as we were going. Sorry, I forced a habit.
The Nail Biologist writes in and says, the Kingdom Hearts trailers did have sound in them. It was just VO and partly getting hit sounds on top of the game's song, Don't Think Twice. I knew that, but I was just being hyperbolic. They did technically have sounds in them, but some of those sounds were kind of missing. Neil Balls also writes and says, regarding Ring Fit Adventure, reminder that sales jumped in China during the coronavirus outbreak and quarantine, as it was seen as a great alternative to the gym. It was even hitting $500 per unit from imports because they couldn't get enough. They couldn't get enough in the country. I think I was listening to a recent Giant Bombcast where they're talking about this.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was like a shortage of Ring Fit Adventure.
Yeah, I mean,
and people are like hustling.
Well, it's an interesting thing, right? You know, I've been trying to be better at this, for a while now, I guess since October, about going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And obviously, this whole thing, it's like, well, that's like, I don't want to go grab all these different public handles and be about it. This is a great idea because we have two Ring Fits in the house.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Lucy got one. And liked it. So then Jen had to get one. And then they both promptly stopped using it. So now maybe I'll start doing it. You know what I mean?
Nail Biologist just writes in and says, missed out today. State of Decay 2 Juggernaut Edition is out today on Xbox One and PC.
Thank you, Nail Biologist.
And then Matt the Wob says, buying things on Nintendo Online Game Store will start the download on your Switch.
Booyah.
That's pretty cool. And then Nail Biologist just provides a link to Daniel Ahmad, who tweets about Ring Fit Adventure. And let me see what this
says. It's not a you're wrong.
It's not a you're wrong.
I guess we're having more conversations.
But the tweet says, Chinese resellers are continuing to buy overseas stock. How old is this tweet? This is from February 20th. Chinese resellers are continuing to buy overseas stock of Ring Fit Adventure in huge quantities to resell in China, where the package is currently selling for over $250. Global shortages plus viral short video showcasing the game plus impact of coronavirus driving up the demand. So there you go. If you have Ring Fit Adventure, cherish it.
Bye.
Oh.
Bye, I guess. I don't know.
Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily. Barrett, bring down the lights.